everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Business Law Reserve. The Law Hour is an educational service in public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States, and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on famine coming to America when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And now our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of other lesser policy-making think tanks to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. And that's correct. That's 90% over the next 50 years, according to their plan. And that's why I contend that we ought not to delude ourselves into believing that we are going to stop all of these mad scientists and philosophers and preachers and politicians in their insane scheme to enslave the world and to impose a worldwide tyranny, a new world order upon all of us. But you and I do not have to participate in our own demise. We do not have to help them. We do not have to finance them, nor do we need stand helplessly by and do nothing either. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let you and I prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And remember, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email machine, and send an email request for your free General Law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about Ezekiel 5 and 6, and before we got started on Ezekiel's prophecy, I laid the foundation for you, and I said, let me show you that Ezekiel wasn't a Jew. I showed you he was a Levite. That was number one. Number two, I showed you that Ezekiel was sent to the house of Israel, not to the house of Judah. He made his prophecy 130 years after the house of Israel had been taken into Assyrian captivity in 721 B.C., that this prophecy is an end-time prophecy that's written for the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand today, in the year 2005. It's an end-time prophecy for our time today. And that the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand are going into national captivity. Before that happens, we're going to suffer from a famine, a siege. We are going to suffer from trade war. Not only are we going to suffer from famine because we have nutritional deficiency in the foods that we produce, even though we wallow in an excess of physical abundance, but we're going to come to a point in time when we will have a physical dearth of food in the land. So I showed you that the Bible is written in code. In Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13, I laid out the code for you. Then I showed you in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 that God himself has sent us strong delusion. This strong delusion is not sent to the longshoremen and truck drivers. They haven't got any concepts to begin with. This strong delusion is sent to the religious people of the world, the Christians, the people who believe that they know and understand the Bible, the people who are running around with a Bible under one arm, knocking on your door and asking you if you know Jesus. I showed you here in Matthew 24 that the Messiah warned you that these people were lying deceivers. Now, they're not lying to you because they believe that they're telling you a lie. They actually believe the lie that they're telling you. It's called a constructive fraud. In law, we call those constructive frauds as opposed to an actual fraud where people knock on your door and they lie to you, like the politician. See, the politician, he commits actual fraud. He's lying to you. He knows he's lying to you, and he's lying to you for a reason. The religious guy comes along. He's lying to you, but he actually believes the lie that he's telling you. He himself is deceived. Let me show you how I know that. The scripture is written in code to hide its real meaning. Religious people do not believe that. Religious people believe that the Bible is written and that they understand it fully, and they're knocking on your door to convert you to their religion because they understand the Bible. They understand the scripture. So let me show you, first of all, before we get to Ezekiel, before we get to the famine prophecy over here, in Psalm 111, verse 10, listen to this. It says, a good understanding have all they who do his commandments. Christians do not do his commandments. Christians do not practice the law of God. They do not have a good understanding of the scripture. They believe they do. Honest to God, you know, they're knocking on your doors and they're just preaching Jesus as hard as they can to save you from your sins. They really don't know their hind ends from a hot rock. In Isaiah 28, 9 through 13, I covered that with you last time. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? You have to be weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. I mean, you got to know something. You got to be able to code plead the scripture and study to show yourself a person who understand scripture by code pleading it, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Daniel 12, verses 8 through 10, Daniel said, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my God, what shall be the end of these things? And he said," this is God now, "he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Hey, do you think those Christians out there are wicked or wise? And just ask yourself a question. Do Christians eat pig? Is eating pig wicked? Is it wise? Do Christians practice the Ten Commandments? Are Christians wise in practicing the Ten Commandments, or are Christians wicked, chasing after his neighbor's wife, or as Isaiah puts it, neighing after his neighbor's wife? Like horses in a stall, neighing after a mare in heat. So Daniel wanted to know the answer to the riddle. He said, hey, wait a minute, tell me, I want to know. God told him, he said, shut up the words, Daniel. You're going into your grave, you're going into your hole in the ground. Daniel, as righteous as you are, prophet though you may be, you are not going to understand these prophecies. But in the end time, the wise shall understand. In Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17, listen to this. Matthew 13, Jesus' disciples came up to him one day and they said, hey boss, verse 10, how come you're speaking to these people in parables? I remember going to Sunday school one time, Mrs. Ray, the Sunday school teacher, she said, the reason that Jesus spoke in parables is because those poor farmers in Jesus' day didn't go to school like you lucky boys and girls. And because they were ignorant, Jesus spoke in parables so that they could better understand the meaning of his words, so that they could be saved and go to heaven and live with Jesus forever. Unquote. That was Mrs. Ray, the Sunday school teacher. I went to Sunday school. I went twice. I remember both lessons, Daniel in the lion's den and this Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. I went to Sunday school twice. Now that beats, you know, most of you people out there. You went to Sunday school and you got all these medals and bars and chevrons on your arms over here about all your good attendance, but what do you remember from it? I went to Sunday school twice and I remember both lessons and I remember who it was that gave it to us. Now here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew 13. His disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Here's Jesus. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and they have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and they have not heard them. And that includes Daniel. So boys and girls, we are about to hear things and see things that Daniel the prophet and other righteous men have not seen, have not heard, and did not understand. Now in Matthew 22, verse 14, the Messiah said, for many are called, but few are chosen. Not everybody out there that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that says, oh, Jesus, praise Jesus, and gets real religious and real emotional, is necessarily going to be saved. He said that over here in Matthew 7. I believe it was Matthew 7. Let's flip over there. Let me cite that. Sometimes I get these numbers a little mixed up. Matthew 7, verse 21. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So in verse 21, he says, you know, if you practice the Ten Commandments, if you practice the law, you'd have a better understanding, a good understanding of all they who do his commandments. Well, the other side of that coin is a poor understanding of everyone or all of those who do not do his commandments. Those that do not practice the Ten Commandments, those that do not practice the law of God, have a poor understanding. And that's why people are starving to death in America. They have a poor understanding of the Scripture. So they go to McDonald's and eat fat, in spite of the fact that Moses instructed us, you shall eat no manner of fat. So they plug up their veins, they give themselves atherosclerosis, then they have bypass surgery, spend $100,000 on insurance, and then they die. Makes a lot of money for the medical profession, makes a lot of money for the health insurance industry, and it kills them. And they die at age 38 and 45 and 62. They don't receive their 70 in 10 years. They don't have good health. They die from Alzheimer's disease. They die from cardiovascular disease, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, because they're starving to death. They either poison themselves or they starve to death because they have a poor understanding of the scripture. Now it goes on to verse 22. This is Matthew 7. This is Jesus. Now you Christians can listen to this. This is Jesus. You know, the guy that you give the finger to and don't pay any attention to. But anyway, this is the guy, Jesus. He says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day. What day is that? That's in the judgment day. Many are going to say to me in that judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out devils? And in your name, haven't we done many wonderful works? Haven't we fed a lot of winos in the soup kitchens on Skid Row? And then Jesus said in verse 23, and then will I profess unto all these do-gooder Christians, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. This word iniquity, by the way, means lawlessness. You that work iniquity, depart from me. Now, iniquity is sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. So over in 1 John 3, verse 4, it says, sin is the transgression of the law. Now, in 1 John 5, verse 3, it says that that love is the fulfillment of the commandments. When you love your neighbor, partner, you're not out screwing his wife, dude. Now, when you leave your neighbor's wife alone and you practice thou shalt not commit adultery, that's showing love to your neighbor. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, of course, if you're the average Joe Sixpack Christian, you're over here neighing after your neighbor's wife, seeing how many of your neighbor's wives you can lay in the back of your Chevy van. And that's why you have a poor understanding of the scripture. Many are called, but few are chosen. And in Matthew 20, verse 16, so the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. In John 6, 44, he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness, lawlessness, iniquity. In Revelation 12, 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, Satan, it says in this verse, Revelation 12, verse 9. Think about this for a minute. Satan who deceives the whole world. Have you been deceived, partner? Because if you haven't been deceived, then God lied. Because in the scripture here, he says that Satan has deceived the whole world. And if you haven't been deceived, then God's a liar. And if you have been deceived, well, then isn't it about time you took the scales off your eyes? I mean, it's either you've got the truth or God has the truth. Either God lied to you or he didn't. And if he told you the truth, then you've been deceived because he said Satan deceived the whole world. In 2 Peter 3:16, speaking of Paul the Apostle, it says, and also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. You know, Paul wrote some things that are hard to be understood. He was a prosecuting attorney. He's a lawyer. Well, Paul the Apostle was. And lay people don't understand law, and they don't understand law from the mouth, from the lips of the Apostle Paul. He wrote as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul never wrote a word come out of his own brain. Paul wrote what he was inspired to write. And because God is sending you strong delusion that you should believe a lie, you can't understand the scripture as written by the hand of Paul the Apostle. It says so right here, 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of things in which some are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures to their own destruction. The religious people wrest the scriptures to their destruction. Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, and he said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy with McDonald's, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. And in Mark 4, verses 11 and 12, he says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. But he said in Luke 8, verse 10, he said, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now, I don't know, partner, if you've got an ear to hear, an eye to see, or if you can understand. I don't have the power to give that to you. I'm just a reporter. All I am is a crummy messenger, and I'm here to send you a message. I'm not a prophet. I didn't come here with a prophecy. I'm not a Levite. I didn't come here to preach the scripture to you. I'm just a Joe Sixpack reporter. And I looked in the scripture, and I said, oh, look at this. I think I will report this on the air. I think I will give a report. Now, I said the future. There is bringing on America a famine of unimagined proportions. I mean, there's a famine coming on us that is going to stagger your imagination. This adoption of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto by Franklin D. Roosevelt under House Joint Resolution 192 on March 5th, 1933, boys and girls, has ramifications that go far beyond the New Deal and the Fair Deal administrations of the 30s and 40s. It is going to carry on to the Second Coming. It is going to be carried out in a series of events in international geopolitics that is going to boggle our minds. In Revelation chapter 6, there's a prophecy given concerning this famine. If you can flip over to it, let's see if I can find it. Revelation chapter 6 talks about these four horsemen of the apocalypse. Famine, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, there was a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. That's the third seal. Remember, I showed you in Matthew 24, verse 7. Messiah said, we're coming on to famine. Now, he talks about a fourth part of the people in the world being destroyed. Now, a fourth part, you know, is 25%. And there are four of these events. The first one is false prophets, the second one is war, the third is famine, the fourth is disease epidemics. And I heard in verse 8, then I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Boys and girls, this process is going to kill 1.5 billion people on planet Earth. You know, that's a biblical proportion. I mean, you're talking about an event here that the Messiah said was going to dwarf Noah's flood. I can only presume by that the sheer number of people killed is going to be greater than the number of people who were alive and who were killed during Noah's flood. I mean, when you get through with Noah's flood, killed everybody in the world but eight, the Messiah said in Matthew 24, he said, this is a time of great tribulation that has never been before and will never be again. You know, that flood was an event that was never before and never again. Now, there are 64 life-threatening problems that he describes here in the scripture leading up in these 30 prophecies that take us to the time of the end and the great tribulation. So I said, let's zero in on famine. And the guy that zeroes in on this famine in the great tribulation is Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 5. So now flip over here to Ezekiel chapter 5. We're ready now for the main prophecy. He says, and you, son of man, take you a sharp knife. Remember, I showed you this last time. Take you a barber's razor, and you cause it to pass upon your head, Zeke, and upon your beard, Zeke. And then take you balances to weigh and divide the hair. You shall burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. Underline that word siege there, because that's trade war. And you shall take a third part and smite about it with a knife, and a third part you shall scatter in the wind, and I'll draw out a sword after them. Now, verse 3 is kind of critical here to you, dude. Listen to this. He says, and Zeke, you shall also take thereof a few in number and bind them in your skirts. All right, get the picture here. God's giving him a message. This is in code now. And here in chapter 6, he's going to explain this code. So I'm just going to paraphrase it. What he's done here is he said, Ezekiel, you take off your head, all of your hair. You shave it off, divide it in a way, and weigh it into three groups. Burn a third, and then take a third and scatter it in the wind, and one third of it's going into national captivity. So one third's going to be destroyed. We're coming up to a nuclear bomb war, boys and girls. Nuclear bomb war, and I suspect it'll be the Chinese that unleash it. And they're going to blast your cities. They're going to lay them waste. They are going to burn your cities with fire. And it's a nation that comes from far whose language we don't understand. A real nasty bunch of people. I mean, these guys, they are mean dudes. Now, you tell this to the average Christian, see, and he just tunes out. He can't handle this. So maybe there's a couple of you longshoremen out there and truck drivers that maybe can pay attention. Maybe you know the guy wearing an earring, and he's got tattoos up and down his arm, he rides a Harley Davidson. You know, maybe that guy. Picture this, partner. This is your God speaking. He says you got a hard heart and a stiff neck, and you're a rebellious sucker. And he told Ezekiel, he said, I'm going to give you a forehead like flint. Now go to this dude and tell him for me, either shape up or ship out. Now that's the alternative that we Americans, Britons, Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders have. It also includes the rest of you dudes over there in France, Holland, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Germany, Switzerland, Ireland, and Scotland. And South Africa, don't forget the South Africans. That's you white dudes down there, you white guys that can't play basketball. Now, you've already gone into national captivity down South Africa and Rhodesia, so you're already in the midst of your punishment. But there's more to come. Well, you're not through yet. It gets worse as we go on. Now, he goes on and he said, now, bind them in your skirts. Then take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall a fire come forth into all the house of Israel. Thus saith the Eternal, the Lord God, this is Jerusalem, and I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. And she has changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments, they've refused my statutes, and they have not walked in them. Now, boys and girls, I don't think I would be stretching the story if I said, you know, the people of Germany and Switzerland and France and the United States and Canada do not practice the Ten Commandments. Now, I wouldn't be stretching that, would I? The people of Israel, the people who are being spoken of here by the prophet Ezekiel, do not obey God or keep his commandments. And that's the bitch. That's what he's complaining about. He says, you know, I took you guys out here, out of Egypt, into the wilderness, and I gave you my law, and I said, now this is what I want you to practice. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and you're out here practicing adultery. You teach this adultery. You teach fornication in your public schools. You teach the boys and girls 14 years old that sexual experimentation and sexual promiscuity is good for them. All right, now go ahead. Teach your 14-year-old daughters to be whores. But there's a consequence, partner, that comes from that. Now remember, this God over here that I'm telling you about is something different than sweet Jesus away in the manger. This isn't the Jesus that you've been hearing about over here in your local church. This guy is meaner than a junkyard dog. This is the guy that destroyed all the people in the world over this very same problem back in the days of Noah. He said, you know, you people are pretty wicked and evil, and I'm going to terminate you. You talk about the Terminator now. This guy terminated everybody but Noah and his family. This is the guy that terminated everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah for practicing homosexual behavior. Now, if that ticks you off, well, then get real ticked off. I didn't come here to be friends. I came here to deliver a message. This is the message. Got it right here from Ezekiel. It's because of your wickedness and your evil that you were destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you're going to get it in San Francisco and New Orleans. You're going to get it in Chicago and New York. You're going to get it in Montreal. You're going to get it in Brisbane and Sydney and Wellington and London. Now, you're getting the message here directly from Ezekiel, who was sent directly to you Israelites with this message. He said, now, pay attention to me. Here's what I'm going to do. That gets better. Verse 7, he says, therefore, thus saith the Eternal, the Lord God, because you multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and you have not walked in my statutes, and neither have you kept my judgments, and neither have you done according to the judgments of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Eternal God, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. I'm going to do this in the sight of the Chinese and the Indonesians and the Russians and the Brazilians and Bolivians and everybody else. I'm going to do this to you, you 10 nations of Israel. I'm going to eat your lunch. That's what he's telling you here in verse 8. I'm going to do this in the sight of everybody in the world so that they can see, hear, and fear. Now, hang on a second. I've got to take a quick break, give you a couple of reminders, and we'll come back with more on Ezekiel 5 and 6 right after this. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, for more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy, procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. Remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, 7 days a week. And the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, just go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about famine. This is the physical famine. This isn't just nutritional deficiency from McDonald's Big Macs or eating fat and plugging up your arteries. Now we're talking about the physical shortage itself. And the first thing that Ezekiel is instructed to do is to take a message from God to all of you Israelites out there, you 10 tribe Israelites, not you Jews. You Jews can sit back now and relax. You got yours in World War II. Now it's your brother's turn. It's the 10 tribes. He's after them now. And he isn't going to get them until the Great Tribulation, until right at the second coming. So in verse 10, he says, therefore, The fathers shall eat the sons in the midst of thee, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgment in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the winds. Boys and girls, when you are reduced to cannibalism and you're eating your fathers, and your fathers are eating their sons, now that is famine. That's a famine that's a little bit worse than the famine that they're suffering over in Darfur or in Chad. Now those people are hungry, and those people are without food, and they're starving to death. Well, they're dying. They're being murdered. They're being oppressed. But it isn't a famine of the acute variety that we see here. In fact, in the thousand-year siege of Stalingrad in World War II, there was only 237 documented cases of cannibalism. Now, there probably were a bunch more that nobody knew anything about. You know, the average cannibal doesn't run out and say, well, I ate four people during the siege, so I'm a cannibal. No, jot that down so that you can get the statistics correct. There were 238, not 237. The point I'm making is that cannibalism was not widespread, even though people were reduced to boiling their shoes, eating grass, and taking bark off of the trees and boiling it down for soup. Now, they were eating bark, eating grass, and boiling their shoes, but they still were not reduced to cannibalism. Now, here's your God now. He says, you people are going to be eating each other. Worse than that, you're not going to be eating the neighbor down the street. You're going to be eating your own father's flesh. You're going to be eating your own sons and daughters boiled and served up. Now, you talk about famine, boys and girls. Now, that's extreme hunger. That's extreme famine. Gets worse. He says, wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all of your detestable things, like Mardi Gras, and with all of your abominations, therefore, will I also diminish you, and neither will my eye spare, and neither will I have any pity. I was watching the news the other night, and this lady was being filmed and photographed as she was leaving New Orleans in the face of this hurricane coming in. And she was really emotional, and she said, pray for us, pray for us. Well, I'm sure that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, as the fire and brimstone was raining down, were praying mightily. People, when they're about to die, get real religious, real fast. You atheists out there, and you agnostics and truck drivers and longshoremen out there, when you're about to die, you'll get real religious. Just before you take your last breath, you're going to be praying to God. Unfortunately, your God says he isn't going to have any pity. It's too late. There comes a point in time when there's a cutoff date. So before this happens to you, you need to get real religious before the event transpires, not as it's about to occur. So you might want to tuck that into your planning. That before the famine comes, you might want to tuck away a couple of jars of peanut butter. I know it's a wild new concept, a wild new idea. Now he says in verse 12, he says, a third part of you shall die with the pestilence. Now remember, Ezekiel over here is told to cut off his hair, wear it into three parts, you know, divide it out into three parts, weigh it out. He says, a third part of you shall die with the pestilence and with famine. Now when you get real hungry, your immune system goes down. When your immune system goes down, you get sick. That's pestilence, that's disease, that's bubonic plague, that's anthrax, and so on. You're going to die. One-third of you are going to die in the famine and the pestilence. First comes the famine, you don't have the food, then you get the nutritional deficiencies, you get scurvy and rickets, and then you die from these deficiency diseases. Got that? All right, now that's number one. That's a third of you. In the midst of you, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about you. Then when you're weakened by the famine, and you're weakened by all of the death from the disease, your enemies are going to attack you with this nuclear bomb war, and then they're going to destroy one-third of you in this war. Okay, now there goes two-thirds of you. Okay, now there's a third here. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw the sword after them. So the third portion, that is that third, is going to be taken into national captivity. So just in case you were wondering how it's coming down, there's the guy to go to and ask. There's the guy that can tell you. It was Ezekiel. There's your God. And then he said, I'm not going to have any pity on you either. Now, when this is coming down, you're going to get real religious and you're going to pray to Jesus, but you don't need to because it isn't going to help you any. And he told you that in 1 Samuel. Remember? 1 Samuel chapter 8. When you first gave him the finger and said, kiss off, we're going to have a king like George Bush to rule over us. Okay. And God said, now remember that, because in verse 18 he said, in that day you'll cry out to me because of the king that you've set over you, and I will not hear you. So number one, he says, I'm not going to hear you. Number two, he said, I ain't going to have any pity on you. So long before this event transpires, you need to make some real, meaningful changes in your lifestyle. This public policy, boys and girls, of fat at McDonald's, this public policy, boys and girls, of hybridization of your seed stocks and supplies by Monsanto, has got to come to an end. And if you can't get your presidente, Mr. Bush, to change the public policy, then you need to change your own personal lifestyle to conform with the laws of God. You need to practice the Ten Commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments that we all got from God by the hand of Moses at Mount Sinai, that we all subscribe to and said, all that the Eternal has said, we will do and be obedient. That's what we said. That was our agreement. We ratified the agreement. That's called a contract. We have a contract, boys and girls. It's called the Old Covenant. We said, okay, boss, we'll do it. Now, in the year 2005, we Americans are in breach of contract, and we Americans are about to have the penal clause in the breach of the contract executed against us. That's called, in legal parlance, foreclosure. They're about to come take the car. They're about to come and evict you from the house. And he says, I'm not going to have any pity when I have to come out and take the car. So get busy and start making your payments. Gets better, though. He says in verse 13, thus shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury in them. Hey, does that sound like sweet Jesus? Spread love? I'm telling you, this guy's meaner than a junkyard dog. This is not the guy to be given the finger to. When he says, keep your hands off of your neighbor wife, you better be satisfied with what you got at home. If she's too damn ugly, put a bag over her head. But leave the neighbor's wife alone. Or he's going to eat your lunch. And he says plainly, I'm not going to have any pity on you. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't write this. This is not 1 Gordon 14:4. I didn't sneak into your house now and put this in your Bible. I'm just giving you the report. And you can take it and do whatever you want with it. You can tell me to kiss off, turn the dial to something else, go play some rock and roll. Enjoy yourself. But meanwhile, back on the farm, you know, as a reporter, I did my job. I came along and said, hey, did you know that this was going on? Did you know that you had a problem here? That's all I'm concerned about. I just delivered the message. Now, in verse 14, it says, moreover, I'll make you waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about you in the sight of all that pass by. So it shall be a reproach and a taunt. It'll be an instruction. It'll be an astonishment unto the nations that are round about you when I shall execute judgments in you in anger and in fury and in furious rebukes. I, the Eternal, have spoken it. And when I shall send upon them the evil arrows of famine, which shall be for their destruction, and which I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you, and will break your staff of bread, so will I send upon you famine and evil beasts, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon you. I, the Eternal, have spoken it. And it says, I'm going to starve you to death. I'm going to disease you to death. I'm going to send a foreign army over here and take you into national captivity. I'm not going to have any pity on you. Now, pay attention. Now, like I said before, that does not sound like sweet Jesus. Now, go to church next Sunday, would you? Go to church next Sunday and listen to that pulpit parrot up there telling you about sweet Jesus away in a manger and about how he feels real good about you and how he's going to forgive your sins. And then compare that with Ezekiel chapter 5, and you'll get it right from the horse's mouth. Now, Jesus is a nice guy. He's a real nice guy. But he isn't going to take any SH off of you. And he isn't going to take you giving him the finger. In the Bible, that's called putting the branch to my nose. And he asks you the question, will you put the branch to my nose and get away with it? Will you give your God the finger, and you think you're going to get away with that? Well, okay, boys and girls, if you think you can pull that off, get after it. Let me watch it. Let me see how it works out for you. I'm going to stand off here to the side and watch you guys do this, and then I'll see how it comes out in the end. If you get away with it, I'll do it. And if you don't get away with it, I'll sit down, shut up, and fold my hands. Now, in the last couple of programs, I told you that there's a couple of guys that you probably would want to get in contact with. I'm going to remind you of this again. When we're talking about famine, as you're going into this end-time famine age, this you're already weak. Your immune systems, boys and girls, are suffering. If you're an American or a Canadian, an Australian or New Zealander, and you've been eating McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King, you have an impaired immune system. You are a sick puppy. And if you weigh 340 pounds, ladies, you are starving to death, and you need a little help. Now, if you're of a mind to make some meaningful change over here, there's a couple things you need to do. Now, the one thing you need to do is to get off this genetically modified diet. And if you're eating out of the grocery store, you're eating out of Monsanto, you're eating out of Kroger's and Safeway in the supermarket over here, you're eating these genetically modified foods, I want to remind you now that your God told you, do not mingle your seed. Now, if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm not a farmer and I'm not mingling my seed, let me remind you, may I remind you that you are an accessory before and after the fact, and accessories are as guilty as are the participants in the crime. You know, when some guy goes out here and burglarizes a guy's house and then takes it over to his fence and fences it over here at, let's say, the pawn shop, And the police find the stolen merchandise in the pawn shop. They prosecute the pawn shop owner right along with the burglar because he's an accessory. Got that? Now, in Anglo-Saxon administration, boys and girls, when you know of a crime and you participate in it, you are an accessory. Now, you're paying the penalty. That's why you weigh 340 pounds. And it's going to kill you. Hell, you may not live long enough to get punished in the Great Famine or in the Great Tribulation. Hell, you may die long before you get there at age 42. But if you want to stand a better chance of dying in the Great Tribulation, then you need to survive long enough for the Great Tribulation to come along. So number one, I want to live long enough to see the Great Tribulation. I want to live long enough to live through it. And I want to live long enough to see the Second Coming. In order for me to do that, I got to obey God and keep His commandments. Now, to help you do that, there's two guys here that I'm going to share with you. I've been sharing them with you the last couple programs. The first guy here is Brian Nevius. Write that guy's name down, Brian Nevius. This is the guy that sells juicers, and he's a little bit more than that. He puts out literature. He's got a web page. I'm going to give you his phone number, and you can call him and say, look, I am sick. I am a sick puppy, and I am starving to death, and I need real food to restore my health. And his number is 309-473-2141. Brian Nevius lives up in Illinois. Number's 309-473-2141. And you can tell him old George sent you if you want to. I don't care. Of course, he may want to disown me after the series of programs and say, my God, I never heard that guy, Gordon. Don't associate me with him. But then I'm going to recommend him, whether he recommends me or not, because this is the guy that has the juicers. Now, the juicer is what you need. If you've got one, you don't need to buy one. But he's also got another neat little thing over here called sprouters. And when you sprout seeds, and I'm not talking about genetically modified seeds now, I'm talking about real, heirloom, open pollinated seeds, boys and girls, and you get these seeds from Jerry at Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds. Now, if you'll take these seeds and sprout them and then eat those sprouted seeds, you can get real nutrition. That's the way you do that. And the way you get these open pollinated seeds is you call Jerry at 417-924-8917. He's a pretty important guy in this thing of health and famine. Two important guys here. Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, 2278 Baker Creek Road in Mansfield, Missouri. The zip code 65704. You got to write that down. Let me give it to you again. Sharpen your pencil now on both ends. You ready? Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, 2278 Baker Creek Road, Mansfield, Missouri, 65704. He's got a phone number. I'd call him. If it was me, just get on the telephone. It's 417-924-8917. Just tell the guy, hey, look, I'm a sick puppy. I need some real seeds. I need some real food. I've got to rebuild my immune system. Now, you do two things with seeds. You go out and you plant them in the dirt, you know, in your backyard. And then you grow a plant, and then you eat the fruit off of the plant, and you get real nutrition instead of genetically modified garbage. Or you take the seeds and you sprout those seeds. And then you eat those sprouts because it increases the food value, the nutritional value, by about three or four times. And you get the sprouters from this guy, Brian Nevius. I don't know. Maybe Jerry's got sprouters too. I don't know. Ask him. But that's what you need. And remember, Brian is at 309-473-2141, and Jerry is at 417-924-8917. Those are the two guys that you need to get your health back on track so that you can live long enough to die in the famine. Otherwise, you're going to die before you get to the critical point. Now, that takes us up through Ezekiel chapter 5. And I'm going to flip over here and I want to read a quick story to you in Deuteronomy 28. It also has to do with this thing of the famine. Deuteronomy 28, verse 53. Listen to this. He says, you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Eternal your God has given you in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you. So that a man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward his wife, the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. Do you get that? So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress you in all of your gates. I'm going to pause right here. That's verse 55. The siege is called trade war. You see, the Chinese, and of course, a lot of other nations around the world, a lot of other people, have been screwed by those of us in the United States. I don't know if you knew this, boys and girls, but we've been screwing everybody in the world. We take their oil. We take their big screen TVs and shoes. We take their products, their physical, tangible goods, and we give them paper, dollars. We give them money. We give them obligations and bonds and promises. And we say, we will pay you someday. Give us now, and we will pay you in the future. The other day, the Chinese came over and said, okay, payday, time for us to buy an oil company. We want to buy Unocal. Here's our $20 billion. We've got the cash. We want to pay you now. Give us this oil company. And we said, no way, Jose. Now, the Chinese just got screwed for $20 billion, and they ain't going to do that forever. Well, I wouldn't do it forever. I can't speak for the Chinese. Maybe they're dumb. Maybe they're just a bunch of dumb, slant-eyed gooks, and they haven't got brains enough to carry guts to a barrel. But I got a hunch that they ain't as dumb as we give them credit for. I got a hunch that one of these days they're going to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, you guys ain't playing by the rules. I want to remind you that the Chinese also have nuclear weapons. I want to remind you that the Chinese are a communist government and that they are sworn enemies and that they have said many times in the past that they would hang us with the rope that they bought from us. So did the Russians. I want to remind you of that. So if you think the Russians and the Chinese are your buddies out there, I think you ought to rethink that. I don't think that that's true. But in any event, we've been screwing the Russians and the Chinese for a long period of time. And I think that the day is going to come when we become weaker and weaker. You see, economically, we have already been destroyed. Now, we're still sitting over here in America, and we still have our nuclear weapons. But our armies are scattered all over the world. I don't think America is very strong. I don't think we have enough soldiers in the United States to defend us against an invasion. I think our armies are sitting in Afghanistan and Iraq and Bosnia and Germany. I think our military personnel are scattered all over the world. And when this comes down upon us, I think they're going to eat our lunch. Well, that's what Ezekiel said. And this thing is going to get to be so bad. In Deuteronomy 28, verse 54 through 58, our God says, you are going to be eating your own children. Now, boys and girls, you talk about famine. Those people over in Darfur are not eating their children. Those people in Stalingrad weren't eating their children. They might have been eating somebody else's children, but they weren't eating their own. Your God says, you'll be eating your own children. You'll be hiding them from your wife so that you can eat the arms off of your own babies, your own little boys and girls, and keep it secret from your wives and husbands. And by God, if that ain't famine now, I don't know what is. Now I'm about out of time. We'll conclude this in the next episode. Be sure you tune in tomorrow night, same time, same station. Now, the Law Hour is what you've been listening to for the last hour, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to our webpage. And that's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy, procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Don't just walk in the door unannounced. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there, but we'll see you back here tomorrow night for the concluding episode in this story of famine over America when we come back next time. So until then, good night, friends.